Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. I'm joined by Zach Levere, the R and the Z of the R&R. We're here to discuss the spring ball game, and we are sponsored by Gear Up Sports, a youth sports platform focusing on solving the uniform and apparel headache for the coaches. If you're a youth or high school coach and need uniforms or player packs, please contact them at gearupwithus.com. Make sure to mention us at the R&R CatCast. We are here. It is football talk, I guess. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about the spring game because that's what we do. I'm sure somebody wants to listen to this. How you doing, Zach?
Doing good. First take, man. Sometimes when we do these intros, people don't know, but you screw them up, you just get tongue twisted because like we talk about things before of what we're kind of say, kind of mapping out, and then you'll get into the first couple minutes of the or first not minute but like first 30 seconds finishing I'm like hey, la, la, and just talking over yourself. But hey man, for being off for a couple months, well done, nice work, welcome back. I also have to say that I think we should call episodes with the three of us on them, though we don't have that tonight, sadly. I'm filling in again, but I'm thinking TFL for Thorny Foley Levere for the last names, also Tackle for Loss. That's kind of what I've been like weirdly on a dog walk thinking, but I was like R&R and the Z, and it just doesn't fit. But that's what I've come up with, this TFL episodes. I'm stealing this kind of idea from a show another show I listen to where they do this with different acronyms. But that's where I'm with, man. We're here to talk about the spring game. Here to talk about some off season randoms. I'm excited to be here. If you're sick of me, buckle up. I'm here again.
Well, we're happy to have you, Zach. And yes, I did get through the intro. I think I forgot to mention the Big Sky podcast. You know, we're the Bobcat podcast for that. But hey, we made it, man. And we're here to talk some football. We'll go down through like, I'm over here in Spokane coaching baseball all the time now. That's my life. And you're finishing up school, but you got to go to the Sunny Holland Classic. So we're going to ask you some questions about the environment. We'll go into some players who we thought flashed. We'll do some strengths and then probably some concerns. And like you said, you had some randos, as you call them, just holstered in there. But before we do that, we have to get what's in our golden coolie.
Oh, that's a beautiful sound. All right, man. Do you want to go first? I'll let you go since you've been off for a bit.
Right on. Holstered in my golden coolie is something I always have in my fridge. It is a Rainier, a Rainier. That's what I have.
Rainier beer. I love that ad. It's so cool. You know, I do have a coolie off to the side, but I am drinking a Last Best Place Pika Pale Ale right now, and I am putting it in my Big Sky basketball championship cup, but I'm beginning to call it my chalice now since we won. So they gave these away at the tournament, but I have my Big Sky basketball chalice. I've had a couple beers from Last Best Place. They got a cool location down on 7th. The funny thing about this is I was in Town and Country today and I was looking at beers for this podcast, and I was with my girlfriend and she goes, well, what are you going to get? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. And I just turned around and I said, pick one. No IPAs. And she goes, okay, I got you. And I'm like, and preferably from the state of Montana. And nice. She saw it's got a cute little like mouse on it. So that's why she picked it. But
yeah,
it's not bad. 5.9%. Yeah, kind of like it.
Nice, man. Never been there. There's probably a lot of breweries in Bozeman I've never been to.
It's like relatively new.
Okay. Right on, dude. Okay. Well, let's start off with just the environment. Tell us about it because you were there. I was over here doing yard work. What was it like?
Gorgeous day. I remember last year's was pretty cold, but with all the construction, they're doing some stuff on the, obviously they have the the Jumbotron's going up, and then the press box side, they're doing a little construction. I think they're just repairing some of the stairs, nothing big. So that was open last year. They put everybody on the East Grandstand, which was fine. I couldn't tell. It looked about similar. I'd say about half the East Grandstand was full. Great crowd. Great showing of just families. A lot of dads there with their kids, who I think the wives kicked them out of the houses on just beautiful days to go watch some Bobcat football. But for a game, it was quick. I mean, 5 minute halftime, just in and out. I think it was done within about 90 minutes, but it's nice. And I don't like, and I understand with injuries, but I don't like when teams nowadays, they don't play a spring game. They just like do like spring drills or make it a spring practice. And it's like, okay, I don't want to watch practice. I want to watch what our guys are doing head to head.
Yeah.
And it was nice. It's 12 minute kind of running quarters. And I thought it was just a great atmosphere. It was nice. I keep saying nice, but it was just a beautiful day, man. It was just a great day for football. We're 4 months away from the start of the season. And I just think we looked, my overall takeaway is this is not going to be another stellar Bobcat team. And not that I wasn't thinking that beforehand, but it just kind of solidified in my mind. We got a lot of dudes.
Well, you go into the spring game not watching for like the X's and O's, but you're looking for the Jimmys and the Johns out there who's flashing, right? And unfortunately for me, SWX over here in Spokane advertised the game at 1 o'clock. So I set my DVR and I made sure all my yard work was done. And I, you know, sat down on the couch, cracked a cold one, and I flipped on the channel. And it was like 4 minutes into the third quarter. And I'm like, what? Like, no. So I only got to see the third and the fourth quarter. Echo your sentiments. Like, it was bright. Like, the screen was really bright. I like almost had to wear like glasses. It looked like it was like not a cloud in the sky over there in Bozeman. But yeah, I was just, you just hold your breath on these spring games going, please, everybody get out of there healthy. Just get out of there healthy, right? Jeff Choate was notoriously like, I hate these games because of this. And he made his spring game more of a kind of a dog and pony show, I felt. And Coach Vegan runs it more like a game. And yeah, you're right, man. The guys, you look for how they're moving. And you look for their size. How do they come out of winter conditioning? Right now, the guys look the best they do, right? And then in the fall camp, they will continue that look. But I was surprised at what I saw. I guess not surprised because the Bobcats are a really good team, but I guess pleasantly, like, happy at what I saw.
It's the first time they've been on the field since the North Dakota game or the NDSU game where we saw how that ended.
Let me tell you something about that. Hold on just for a moment, because the moment I turned on the game was the moment Casey Kotchman had his field goal block. I go, are you freaking kidding me? Because the last play I saw for Montana State was the block PAT. And then all I did was Kotchman getting his fourth field goal tipped by, I think it was Sebastian Valdez, or was it?
Brody Grebe. Sebastian Valdez ain't on the team anymore, buddy.
Oh, not Valdez. I was thinking not Valdez. I was thinking Blake Schmidt. Yeah, Seabass is not on the team anymore. But yeah, one of those dudes. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, flashbacks, help me. And then somebody said,
there was a guy next to me who like muttered, boy, that looks familiar.
No,
no, please, no. Kotzman's credit, boy, we're kicking this off right off the bat. To his credit, he nailed the first three beautifully.
40, and 45, and 30. I didn't get to see him, but I read
about
him.
They were pretty. I can tell you right now, they were pretty. They were right down the middle, no doubt about any of them. And that was awesome to see up to that point. I mean, if that doesn't get blocked, even if he misses that one, it's like, okay, he, you know, 3 for 4 with that kind of range was nice. Yeah. I will say, though, it also was it was a pretty windy day, too.
Okay.
So the wind was kind of blowing kind of through the middle of the field. So not really, you know, east. It was more going south to north versus east to west. So
okay.
Kind of was blowing again through the stadium, which was not much of a factor on that. But yeah, a blocked field goal, not something you want for the confidence of a kicker who's probably been thinking about that for a while. But
first play I saw.
Man.
PTSD. What's going on?
I wonder if you could bet somewhere about, like, could you just bet for the season that the Bobcats will have a blocked field goal at some point in the year? Like, I don't want to bet it, but I'm like, at this point, I'm like, there's going to be one. You just know there'll be one throughout the year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Please come against Idaho State in like a 63-10 win.
You think we're going to get another kicker?
This is how out of practice I am. I thought we have a freshman maybe coming in.
Something like that.
But
Slippy Slappy.
If he can make 45 yarders though and becomes more consistent at that, and you know, he was just a freshman last year, so to cut the guy a little bit of slack, if he can hit 45 yards and develop, I don't think we really need another guy.
Yeah.
So
he's got the leg. It's just, you know, is he going to get the yips? How's his mentals going to be? I think it would be wise Montana State to continue to look at the portal, see who's out there. I'm sure they always are, right? I know with Brennan Hall, we're punting and kickoffs in the bag, but to be determined. I think Coach Vegan mentioned that they will still be looking. Do we have a guy? I don't know. Can Kotzman be that guy? I hope so. It's kind of traumatic for him last year, though, to get thrust into that position and then in the season like that. So I hope his just mental fortitude is okay, because that was tough. And I feel bad for that kid.
Yeah. Well, I thought improvement all around. I thought he improved. I mean, in the spring game and his kicking, I thought he looked pretty good. I thought for those kicks that he did make, the ones that nobody saw at the beginning, were terrific. I thought it was excellent. So kicking game was good. Brennan Hall had quite a few punts. If you watched the game, there was quite a few defensive stops. Obviously, in spring games, if you don't know, defense always shines most of the time in a spring game, just because it's so much easier to pick up schemes. You have a lot of veteran guys, and just getting yourself in positions where offenses generally struggle, especially when you're running a second team offense with guys that haven't gelled as much. That's generally what goes on in that. So not really a surprise that there was no touchdowns in the first half. And then, you know, some scoring happened late. Later in that game, they did open up some stuff to get some guys scoring. They showed a few different plays, but you're going to get very vanilla offense. You don't want to give opponents anything. You don't want to flash as much. And you're really looking for the weird diamond in the roughs in these games. And it's kind of fun, though, because you're kind of eyeing who scores the touchdowns or who's making plays up the sideline. And it's sometimes hard because it is two-hand touch, and you're not trying to hurt your own guys or take anybody's head off. So guys maybe can get away with some stuff. But I thought we had some offensive weapons that shined that made me feel very good going into this next year.
Yeah, I would echo that. One of the guys that jumps off the page to me, I think this guy is going to be the next big thing at Montana State. You heard it first. Adam Jones.
He was the
Missoula product. Yeah.
He was one of the jewels of the recruiting class, not last year, but the year before. He played in quite a few of the home blowouts this past year. So when we were, you know, against Cal Poly, I think he had some big runs. Stetson, he had some big runs. He looked the part. He looked like he could be up there. And boy, that's another thing, man. We're just loaded at running back. Once again, I'm knock on wood, because I hope they stay, but I'm shocked we're able to keep all these dudes around and none of them leave.
It is like, wild, because
we give the touches to all of them, but I'm stunned about that.
Right? Because look at Elijah Elliott, who is a senior now, and he's probably still third, fourth on the depth chart, but we'll use him. Julius Davis didn't play. He was out with the injury. Jared White, I don't think, was playing, or
he was four carries for 11 yards, nothing crazy from him. He was my star of the spring game last year.
I'm thinking of Scotty Humphrey. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Humphrey also, I think he had a touch, but not much.
Yeah.
That was crazy because nobody knew about Scotty. And then again, you also got to think of the spring games. You're going to have a lot of your freshmen aren't on campus yet, like Scotty was. He didn't play in the spring game, and then he goes off for as many yards as he did against Utah Tech.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, deep at running back. To me, that's not a concern. I think the strengths for me when I was watching the limited amount of time I got to was the offensive line. Again, another solid offensive line. We lose a couple stars, just roll in a couple new guys. Ezekiel Samora looked good. Cedric Jefferson looked good up in the middle. It's awesome to see our center, Justice Perkins, a senior, now a four-year starter. He is just an absolute stud in the middle, probably the best center in the Big Sky Conference. Begin to wonder who's behind him. I haven't heard of any backup centers being played. Do you have any names for me, Zach?
I don't have anything at this point. No,
backup
man,
center. You didn't think I was going to throw that one at you.
God, that's Midsummer Sports Radio going over the backup center.
On the other side, though, the defensive line looked good to me. I know we lost C. Bass, and but Brody Grebe, just defensive end. And the defensive end for Montana State are going to be guys that make all the plays. And Brody Grebe is going to have a phenomenal season, and so is Kenneth Iden. But I was looking at the new guys like Alex Eckert, Mr. Biceps himself. I mean, that guy has some juice, or maybe just juiced biceps. I'm not sure. But he looked good. He had some pop to him. It looks like he could be a little bit bigger. And that's another thing I noticed is like our defensive line is not necessarily the hugest, but guys like Zach Black and Paul Brott were not playing, but we were rolling deep in the lines with the defensive line. And I think we're going to rotate probably 8 guys there. And I think that's good for Montana State. Last year we didn't. You know, Sebastian Valdez, Seabass, were guys, they rarely came off the field. I think if we can, you know, maybe not have that top end talent like that. I mean, well, you know, we have not Valdez. Who am I thinking? The guy I just mentioned. Help me out here, Zach. The other dude that's in the middle.
Hang on, I've got it up here. You've got Kenneth Iden, Alec Eckert, and Brody Grebe were kind of, your nose tackle was Blake Schmidt.
Blake Schmidt, that's who I was thinking of. Yeah. I'm sorry. But Blake Schmidt's going to be there. But I think we're going to get Paul Brott, who came on last year, played late. He was huge. He just continued to get better. Zach Black's coming off an injury. He's chomping at the bit to get back in. Man, I think both sides of the ball in the trenches. That's where you're going to win, and I think Montana State has a lot of depth. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, man, I got up here right quick. I will run through just kind of who the starters were, what we kind of had as our basically what projected starters minus the injuries, but what we rolled out with quarterback Tommy Malott, Scottrie Humphrey, tight end Rohan Jones, Lenata Alexander Jr., Taco Dallar, Ty McCullough, and then our line, which I was really interested in this because we had the, you know, obviously a lot of the departures on the line, but Justice Perkins is returning. Marcus Weir is right tackle. Connor Moore is left tackle. And then Burke Mastel and Cole Sain. But man, I thought Rollins, the transfer from BYU, I thought he looked sharp too.
I didn't know he was back yet. I thought he was still on his mission.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I saw him out there and he was a big dude, or somebody was a big dude and I thought it was him and I was like, oh man, he looks huge.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Maybe I was wrong on that, but I saw somebody, I thought it was him and I was like, oh, I was like, yeah, that's going to be one. But we look in shape. Like sometimes in spring games, you know, off seasons happen, injuries happen, but we just looked like, I felt confident we could go out and win ball games with this team in the spring. Like that's crazy to say. It just looked good.
Nice, dude. Yeah. We looked fast. The offensive plays, inside zone, outside zone, quarterback read, and they were going to give it to the running back mostly. I think who is wearing yellow shirts? Malott and Reed?
Malott and Reed. They were letting him hit the other quarterbacks a little bit, which I thought was nice. They were just kind of letting the defense do some stuff. Grebe had some great plays. Gosh, that guy's so fun to watch. Just he's just so explosive. Oh. And he also getting 41 too. I mean, that's something we haven't talked about yet, but for I think that's super cool, man. I think that's so cool that we have a heritage number like that. And yeah, awesome that he won that.
Well, I remember when Brody said that he wanted to make his game kind of like Daniel Hardy. And Daniel Hardy had an epic senior season. Brody's there now. He might not have that exact twitch Daniel does, but he's absolutely a wrecking ball. At one point, him and his brother Bryce, and Bryce is the tall, white kid in the back. Like, he was pale white, number 15. and they met in the hole and tackled the guy. And I'm coining this right now. I'm calling that the Millstone mashup. So if the Greeby boys could get back there, that's the Millstone mashup right there.
Let's see if Greg Rick uses that on TV coming up. We'll see. We'll coin it. I like that. Star performers I had, I guess if we can go into that, make sure I get his name right. Hunter Province, two catches for 25 yards and two TDs. I thought he had more catches. He was a stud out there, man. He's a sophomore tight end. He just looks like he can step into that role. I know Ryan Lonergan wasn't playing, but I just looked at him like, man, we got another just boss tight end out there catching passes and a big body who can go get it. So he was kind of my guy to look out for. And if you're looking for a dude to replace what we lost, I thought he was the dude. I mean, early, I'm going to say early about 20 times this episode, but definitely early, but he just looked good. Like, he looked in shape. He looked like he could catch. He looked like he could stretch the field. It was impressive.
It's interesting. I was wondering what you thought from Rohan Jones. I hadn't seen him.
I didn't catch much, man, on that. That was that he just didn't stand out for me on that.
A couple guys that looked good to me, and I'm not going to go into too much on these guys, is Javonte King. I think Javonte King is a really long, physical, gifted receiver that we have. So he's going to get some playing time. I thought it was good to see Lenata out there again, and I'm excited just to see that guy in the uniform on Saturdays. I thought Takari Carr front in the back end, he had a couple of nice pass breakups in third and fourth quarter, just playing with some swagger back there. Jordan Reed, not so much on his passes, but the way he throws a ball, his arm is so smooth. That guy can just spin it, and it's so pretty looking. He didn't have like great completions, but man, he was just really good. And I think the other guy that caught my eye was, of course, Adam Jones. I already mentioned Adam Jones. So those are the guys that I wrote some notes down that I was impressed with.
Yeah, it's amazing how many guys look good, but also how many starters from last year who, you know, aren't still, you know, had off-season surgery or nursing some. Kane Dowler's on the sidelines still. Drew Polidor didn't play. It's crazy just to see how many dudes that we didn't have play. So that also like brought my confidence up too of, hey, we got a lot of dudes out here playing, but we're going to get a lot of dudes too going into the year.
Oh, yeah. All right. But what do you think is some of the strengths for the Bobcats going into the fall?
Well, we've got a stable and a half of running backs again.
Yeah.
And we've got, I think you said it, and I think I agree with it. Arguably, we've got the best offensive line in the FCS again.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can mow people down.
How about Tommy Mellott? What did you see from him?
I saw him stretch the field, and I saw him work on his pass game, and his pass game looks like it's improved even more. From what we saw last year, he knows he has to step up, and he doesn't have that, like, I don't want to call it a luxury, but he doesn't have that luxury to fall back on a second starting quarterback, because I don't think they can run a two quarterback system with Reed like they have. Reed is an excellent quarterback. I thought he played really well in the spring game. I thought he played really well every minute he got last year.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of confidence in him going forward, but Tommy doesn't have that luxury of cushion of knowing that if he's out for 4 weeks, that we'll be just okay on autopilot with Sean Chambers running things. I thought he was a little, he protected himself better And he's going to have to do that all year. He can't rush. Maybe 7 yards is fine versus trying for 12 and 15 and taking a big hit. So that's something that I'm going to look for going into more of protecting himself. But I thought his passing and his arm looked sharp. I think his arm's getting better year after year. And I think it's going to kind of culminate into what we see. I think he was hitting dudes in the chest perfectly.
The one pass I saw from him that was pretty impressive was he hit Lanata on a seam route down the sideline. I should say not a seam route, but just down the sideline, back shoulder, and just threw it on a dart. I thought from what I saw from a lot, he seems more comfortable as a quarterback. Obviously, he's a senior. He knows the system. He was going through progressions, making good decisions. And you're right, Zach. I think he has to be a wiser quarterback this year. One that plays with a little bit of, reserves his big play self. He can't play with such reckless abandon because he's a guy that gets hurt every year. And, knock on wood, Bobcat fans, but chances are he's going to get hurt again. And so what do the Cats have when Tommy Mullock goes down? And that's a big question going into the fall. I know we're talking about strengths right now. I think Tommy Mullott is a huge strength. Can he keep healthy, though?
Yep, that's the biggest one. I think I asked Keaton that, too, and that was another thing that he said is, I think that's everybody's question. Like, we have the team, and that's what I've really harped on, and I harped on it last year, and I harped on it the year before that, too, is when you come up short, and when we did against North Dakota State in the championship game, funny, that's the farthest we've made it, but when we come up short, you can identify position weaknesses, mostly on your offensive lines, that just aren't there for a championship team at this level. And I think every position on this team, and I thought this last year, and I thought this the year before, is good enough to get back to Frisco. And so that's kind of where I'm at this year of, I think every position on this team is good enough to get to Frisco. I don't see a blaring weakness on this team, which is, I don't know if that's alarming or, soothing, but from what I've seen is I think we've got a lot. We're not the strongest team up front on the defensive line, but I think we've got the bodies to go four quarters with anybody.
Yeah.
To rotate in. I think we have a solid stable of receivers. I think we've reloaded at tight end. I think we have an excellent quarterback that if he can stay healthy for a season, is capable of winning player of the year at the FCS level.
That's a huge if, though, and that's a big concern now. Like, let's transition to that concern is, does Montana State have packages? Can Jordan Reed be the guy? Does he need to be the guy? That's the thing. Does Montana State need Jordan Reed to be the guy? Or does Montana State say, we just need you not to screw up, Jordan Reed, and we'll take care of business? I don't know. And I don't know. Let's say Tommy goes down 3 games in and Jordan's going to take
worst case scenario,
conference play. And then we're saying, okay, maybe Tommy can come back, fingers crossed, by Cagres, right? Something like that. Let's say that scenario happens. Yep. What do we do? Do we say, okay, we're just going to run the ball? That we're just going to run the ball down people's throats and does the Big Sky, can they adjust for that?
I trust Reed enough to make those plays.
How do we call the offense with Reed in there?
Yeah, I've seen enough with him throwing and his ability to read play action as well as just the pocket that I can trust him to beat just about anybody in the Big Sky, I could say.
Do you think Montana State would go directly to Jordan Reed, or do they bring in a guy like Chance Wilson who has kind of similar skills to Tommy Mullott, where he's more of a runner, dynamic player?
I can't answer that, but I trust Reed enough to, I could see him. I don't know what's going on with the Grizzlies. I know Idaho's lost a lot of pieces. I think the Grizz are still in transition. I didn't watch their spring game, but I trust him to beat just about anybody in the Big Sky, from what I've seen and what I think he can do and his ceiling.
I'm just really curious.
That's optimistic. Right? That's very optimistic right now, fan, like people. Like, that's super optimistic. But if we're playing that like deep, dark, you know, hole of what our schedule is, I trust him to get us to, I think he could get us to a 6-2, a 7-1.
Yeah.
Just with how good of pieces are around him and can lift him up and can, you know, do the part.
I guess my point is just, I'm just wondering how Tyler Walker calls the game. If,
yeah,
now Jordan Reed is the dude, how do we play to his strengths? And when we talked to Jordan Walker, he was all about like, yeah, you don't call plays just to call plays. You call plays to highlight the player's strengths. And so we were so soothed in the nice two quarterback system with Chambers and Mallott because Chambers was so good, right? And like, we were so lucky, like, okay, Tommy goes down, no big deal. We got this awesome dude in Sean Chambers. And anybody who listens to this podcast knows we were rallying for Chambers. We were team.
I'm kind of glad. Like, it was so much fun to talk. It was fun, but it got exhausting. And I'm at the point where I'm kind of like, thank goodness, like, that argument is done. Like, yeah, we have like, because two quarterback systems, you know, though they can work, like, it's just so exhausting to talk about him sometimes of like, oh goodness, here we go again. But we had to have it with the injury stuff.
I don't think Montana State wants to go away from a two quarterback system. Coach Vegan has been kind of tiptoeing around it. He's like, you know, doesn't mean we have to. Montana State's not beholden to a two QB system is basically what Vegan has come out and said. But they've had a lot of success with it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's not something we're just going to throw out in this season because I think they know the penchant Mr. Mallott has for just getting dinged up. He's just a physical player and players who get hurt. So I don't know. That's my huge question going into the season.
Yep. All right, man. Do you have any more takeaways, current fun spring ball?
I'm just glad we got out there healthy. As I watched the waning quarters there, I just thought, man, this always looks the same to me. Every year we turn into the Sunny Hall and game, you're like, ah, okay. It's just kind of underwhelming because the offense is just very vanilla, but you get a little taste and then you just reminded yourself, you're like, oh, but we're still like 4 months away from actual football, but it's good to see the guys bash heads a little bit and see some new guys, get some touches. It's always good to see Bobcat football. So, yeah, happy.
I'd like to see him treat it a little more like a game on the fan side of the house where, man, let everybody tailgate. Like, if you can just, you know, treat it a little more like a game and just empty that lot. I know, like, a lot of students use it, but I just wish they could, like, empty that lot for the weekend and just keep it, like, I don't know, just open it up for tailgating. Just have that tailgating. Make it feel like a pregame experience almost. That'd be fun.
I didn't know they didn't.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
Just, I don't know. I just thought it would be pretty fun. I also had the idea too, because the rodeo was the week before. Also, awesome experience with that. That was my first time ever at the Bobcat Rodeo. That thing was sick. That was so cool. Well done. I'm sure it's like that every year, but that was, wow. Blown away with how awesome that thing is. But
I mean, people should be like firing up the grills, getting out the cornhole, cracking some cold ones out there before. Absolutely, they should be.
My other thought was, why not play this thing at 3:30 on Saturday and then everybody can go across the street to the rodeo at 7? Because they were on different weekends. But that was another thought I had is, why don't we just make this thing just an all out party? Like, just put it on the same weekend. And I know I was listening, Oregon did this last year with their spring game, and then they had a big baseball series. So everybody went to the spring game and then went to the baseball series. And I was listening to an Oregon commentator talk about how awesome that was, and that their football coach was slamming beers in the beer garden with a bunch of, you know, boosters at the baseball game afterwards. But I had that too. I'm like, play spring game, and then let's go over to the rodeo, and the team can lead the rodeo team onto the, you know, I don't know, the dirt.
Yeah.
out of the chute, I guess, with the flags like they did. But that was kind of my thought was, if you put this on the same weekend, you could just make this just one big Bobcat day. And I think that would be sweet.
Yeah. A little bit of capitalization for Montana State Athletics. I like it.
Yeah. So
forward thinking, that was my, I like it, Zach.
That was my like last thought of like, if we could just do something like that and just make it just one big, huge day, that would just be an awesome party.
Yeah. Right on, dude. So.
All right, man. I'm an idea man. I'm just a 26-year-old idea man at this point. All right, man. Do you want to get into some off-season randoms?
Yeah, let's do it. What do you got?
All right. So the first one I have, and I know you love this conversation, is the future of the Bobcats. And I don't know if you've heard this, but I don't know if you've heard this news story. It's kind of new in the first couple in the last couple days. There's a couple former coaches. It's been brought up, but with the expansion of the FBS college football playoff, they've kind of lowered the payouts for the group of five schools, and it kind of seems like they're headed for a shutout of the group of five, where, you know, the Big Ten, the SEC are just going to kind of do what they want to do. And I know you and Thorny are very pro moving up, and you know, you got to obviously strike when the iron's hot. But one of my big thoughts is, we haven't won a title, and I want to win an FCS title. It's been so long. I just feel like there's four or five teams that can win it, but we just haven't been there yet. And I want to do that. But the idea has been floated, and it's, you know, I don't know if it'll ever become a reality, but it's got some talking right now. The group of five is considering doing their own playoff and splitting off and becoming the middle tier between the FBS, the FCS. So there'll be FBS, group of five, FCS.
Yes.
And that would include the Mountain West, the MAC, Sun Belt, AAC, all those conferences. So that's got me thinking, because I'm like, what would that look like? And would that be better for us?
100% it would. Absolutely. Yep. We need to be playing with more like-minded institutions. That's been my drive this whole time, is I don't want to be left behind playing in Greeley, Colorado against teams that, you know, for example, Northern Colorado, that we don't need to be playing against. Montana State and the University of Montana have a product on the field and in the state, the facilities, all of it, that just is more than the rest of the Big Sky. We should be playing like places like Wyoming and Colorado and Boise State. Those type of institutions are more aligned to where we are at this moment. And I just think, yeah, hey, if they're going to do a playoff system in this group of five, let's be part of it, because I'd love Montana State to compete against. What if we played the Ohio Bobcats, the Clash of the Bobcats? I mean, that would be fun, right? Yeah. I don't see why we can't.
We have a product in the stands to be proud of too.
Absolutely.
And that's something that a lot of other schools can't say. And I think it's something that's got me thinking a lot lately, especially coming off of Boise and just seeing the showing in Boise and just covering, you know, the ESPN Plus and seeing how many people are in there. But Sacramento State has a 300 person gym, like maybe 1,000 people can fit in that gym. And it's just frustrating, because does Sac State have any sort of, you know, Big Sky Conference podcast affiliation or anything? Or is there anybody caring at this level? I don't know of anybody. And I know there's certain institutions that care and put people in the stands. And it's frustrating a little bit, but I had that other thought. And then I would like to see us have some big time opponents here, but that also comes with two prices. One, you've got to be okay losing 4 to 5 games a year. And the other one is you're going to also at all levels have to shell out your checkbook, because that's what Boise State does. That's what, look at Colorado State Stadium and what they have. That's what it takes to be at that level.
Yeah.
And so that it's just where I'm at of like, I don't want to move to the FBS the way it currently is. And that's my biggest fear, because I have zero interest in playing in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl on December 23rd in front of 12 people in Boise, Idaho. That's like the thing I don't want. And I see like, or the New Mexico Bowl, like these just bowl games that mean nothing. I like playing the playoff games at Bobcat Stadium. I like that electric postseason atmosphere.
Do you like the fact that there's really only four teams that can win the national championship? South Dakota State, North Dakota State, University of Montana, Montana State?
Well, I can ask the same thing right now. Do you like that there's four schools that can win the national championship at the FBS level? It's Georgia, yeah. Alabama, LSU, Michigan, maybe. I mean, it's the SEC's one has met so many. So at that point, it's just, you know, I think kind of who cares? Like, that's how it is at the big boy level. If you look at Major League Baseball, how many teams have, you know, that's not a great example, but generally you're going to get the same, you know, 5 to 10 teams who are going to win the title every year.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
that's kind of where I'm at of like, it's just like, okay, but we haven't done it yet. And I think that's frustrating and getting into the heads of a lot of Bobcat fans is we've invested, we've had amazing facility updates. We've invested in, you know, I think the NIL stuff we're doing at our level is incredible. And I think that gives us a massive advantage. And that kind of leads me into another question. I'll save it. But the other thought I'm pondering is, are Montana and Montana State going to run the conference at the football level and potentially the basketball level for the foreseeable future? Because we can outspend anybody else in the conference now on players, which is now legal.
Yeah.
Circa Grizzlies 2011, cough, cough.
Yeah. And just, you can't just be left behind. And that, no. I think Coach, or not Coach Leon, Leon has always said it really well, where he says, you do your best to position yourself to be in the best position possible. So whenever happens, you're ready for it.
Yeah.
I think Montana State's doing just that.
Yeah. And I like being the king of the castle right now. We're at the top of the mountain as we've kind of been in football and basketball the last couple of years. I mean, it's new relative territory for us still. And I said it a while ago that I think we're enjoying success we haven't seen in decades right now.
Sure.
And it's awesome and it's enjoyable and it's easy to think about the future, but I don't really want to think too hard until we win an FCS title or win a game in March Madness.
Yeah.
Because if we win a game in March Madness, then I'm thinking, okay, we got the guys, we can do things and we'll see. So that's kind of my thought of like, you need to prove it before you go up.
Counter question. Do you think Montana State fans are getting a little bit bored?
Yes. The amount of people I talked to about last year's home schedule being terrible was acknowledgeable. Like I was like, yeah, playing Stetson and beating them, you know, by 50 is not fun. Playing Cal Poly and beating them by 50 and knowing what's going to happen is not fun. There's maybe four teams you can bring into Bobcat Stadium and guarantee you're going to play a good game against maybe at this point. Like, and not be a 10-point plus game. I mean, it's the two Dakota State schools, it's Montana and maybe Idaho at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think we throttle Furman. I mean, Furman played Montana good, but I just don't see anybody else. And I think it's going to get worse as we go into this NIL and this kind of world of, I mean, we're a proud school. Montana's a proud school. South Dakota State's a proud school. NDSU is a proud school. And they have fans who have proven that they can, you know, fans, boosters that proven they can show up, sell tickets, but they're also going to invest. And they're going to invest in their wallets through the NIL collectives and through these other means. And what did Choate say for years was he couldn't compete with NDSU because they had the tuition. What was it? The cost of attendance?
Full cost tuition? Of attendance.
Yep.
Cost of attendance.
That doesn't seem like a thing anymore for us or Montana now that, you know, your boosters can do these things.
Yeah.
So if you need players, I figured there's enough pockets. There's enough people out there in Bobcat land and Grizzland who can make those things happen. So that's kind of what I think about that. I do think we're bored. I don't think we're bored fans because we have games on the schedule that are still not going to be boring, but, and again, it's always nice being, you know, winning a lot of games every year, winning 8-10 games every year is sweet. Nobody's ever going to, you know, your coaches are never going to get fired if you're winning 8-10 games a year. That's job security on their part. But yes, I do think we are getting a little bored on that side of the house. But I don't think we will be completely bored till we win a couple titles.
Hope so, man. I hope so. All right, give me another one.
All right. First game of the year, we are exactly 4 months to the New Mexico game. Do you know, I was going to text you and then I decided to save this one because I really wanted to ask it. Do you know who the head coach of New Mexico is?
Bronco Mendenhall.
It is Bronco Mendenhall. Wow, you got that. It's his first game out of the gate as the New Mexico head coach. So it's a beginning of an era there. That's a big get for them too.
It is.
Like that, I didn't know that. I was like, that guy's got a record.
Didn't know he was still not at BYU until recently.
Yeah, he went to Virginia for a while. And
yeah,
he had an okay run at Virginia, but I was kind of surprised they took that job.
Yeah. He's a good coach, man.
Oh, man. 4 months away. We're 120-ish days away from... Oh, I can taste it, man. We're so close.
I want to go to that one, too. Week zero. Yeah. I'm trying to make some plans for that. That'd be cool. I got to get back to Bozeman this year.
We've talked about doing that, and then we've talked about... Football kickoffs back in Spokane this year. So we've talked about going to that as well.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there.
That'll be a good one. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Let's see here. Do I have any more randoms for you? Oh, all right. This is a good one. I've been looking forward to this one. Good wrap-up question, too.
Sounds good.
What is the best time for a beer? And I don't mean this like, what's the best like time you think of a beer? And I was thinking mine is that Michelob Ultra golf course beer is amazing. So the question kind of is like, and you can't say having a beer on the podcast. That's a cop out answer. But when's the time that you enjoy having a beer the best?
After a good run.
Really? Oh yeah, that's right. You're a run club guy. I forgot about that.
Yep. Yeah. It's just a social thing. You know, you run with guys, you do something hard, and sit down and have a good beer. That's great. I love it.
Yeah. I don't think the golf course beer is pretty undefeated. The grilling beer, fired up the Traeger for the first time this year. That was a good one. But
yeah, that's a good salmon one too. Tonight.
That was fantastic. But I was just thinking about that. Weather's getting nice. So when's the best time to have a beer? And hey, hit up the socials with us on that one. I kind of want to collect answers on this question, just get everybody who listens to this. But what time do you enjoy having a beer the best? And I kind of want to know. Bobcat victories are also great.
Yeah.
Tailgating. The victory beer is great.
Tailgating beer is always fun. I feel like I'm missing one, and it would just smack me right in the face, be like, of course, that is it right there. But no. The grilling one was fantastic. Absolutely. Yeah. Like when you fire up your barbecue, if you don't have like a one in your hand, it just feels like you're missing something. Like, where's my flipper or something? Where's my cold beer right now? So yeah. Friday afternoon. You know, Friday night,
afternoon
something.
Beer is a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one too.
The other one that I was thinking about is the river beer, like the Madison, yeah. Floating the Madison River beer. I did that on the cold days of this winter. That's all I thought about was, I can't wait to float the Madison this summer and just have a beer on the river. It's going to be great.
Coming in from skiing beer.
That's a good one. That's another good one.
Sitting in a hot tub beer.
Ooh, that's... Now you got me thinking. I'm trying to think.
Hot springs,
yeah. Hot tub beer. That is a good one. Oh man. I'm trying to think. The brewery beer is a good one too. Like when you just walk into a new brewery. That's a good one. The first time you walk into a new brewery and try something, just look at the menu and try it. That's a good one.
For baseball fans, going to a baseball game, a live baseball game, having a beer at a baseball game.
I miss those baseball bat Spokane Indian. I've said it before. God, those things are awesome. I love those things.
Yeah. All right.
Are you watching any Reds baseball this year?
Yeah, of course I am, man. I'm a huge Reds fan. Yeah. I was just catching a little bit tonight. Ellie De La Cruz had three hit night. He stole three bases. Man, that guy's electric. My son wants one of his jerseys for his birthday coming up in 2 days. He's not getting an Ellie De La Cruz jersey, but... with his own money, hopefully, but no, I haven't bought him a jersey yet.
I got my brother last year for his birthday. My brother's a big Oregon State baseball fan, so I got him a Adley Rutschman Orioles jersey.
Nice.
And so he thought that was super cool. So yeah, man, like baseball's like so funny sometimes too, because like I'm a Rockies fan and I watched a little bit of their game tonight, but there's no hope. There's no hope, and I'm sad.
Oh, man.
And so I just have started watching good teams to just stay interested because I love baseball, but it just stinks because then, like, there's when you don't have a team that's like in it or any hope and you know you're going to lose close to 100 games, it's like, what? Why would I spend my afternoons on this? So I'm not giving up my fandom, but I'm like being proxy fans of other teams this year to learn other team squads.
There you go. I'm always contend rooting. That you can have an NL and an AL team. So find yourself a good an AL team. So
I'm also rooting against the Dodgers and Japanese Pete Rose every night.
Oh, that's a low shot.
I hope there's no Dodgers fans listening out there, but I hate the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers so much.
Well, they haven't really done much lately. I mean, they make
and the their fake World Series title.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're rambling on baseball. I'm pretty sure these Bobcat fans are saying, let's close shop from there. Yeah. So let's get out of here.
All right, man. I'll let you go. It's been fun. You're good on the mic. It's been a little dusty, but hey, man, we're in spring form as well over here.
All right. Well, give me a go, Cats.
All right, man. Go, Cats. Go, Rockies.
Go, Cats.